Parshas Vayeshev, I'd like to start off with a very interesting medrash. The Pasuk says in Tehillim about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Ma ro hayom kisonus. What did the sea see? Kisonus. And it ran off. Hayadin tisiv liocha. The yardin that went back. What did it see? It doesn't really say what it saw. It doesn't say what it saw. So the medrash says, what did it see? Medrash says, Ma ra, what did it see? Arona shel Yosef. It saw when they're crossing the sea, they saw the oron of Yosef, it saw the coffin of Yosef, that all the, you know, all the left Mitzrayim, all the Shvatim left Mitzrayim. It saw the oron of Yosef, and then it stopped in its tracks. In other words, that there was a natural process of the sea actually continuing in its path, and there's absolutely no reason why naturally it should stop, and it refused to stop. It saw Arona shel Yosef, and it stopped. What did it see? What was so special about Aaron of Yosef that made it stop in his tracks? The parasha begins with a very, very strange Rashi. Ve'yeshev Yaakov be'eretz Meguri Ovi be'eretz Kanan. Yaakov Vinu dwelt in Eretz Kanan, Eretz Meguri Ovi. Says Rashi. Bikesh Yaakov leishu b'shalvo. Yaakov Vinu had a desire to sit b'shalvo, to sit Bishalva in a state of relaxation, okay, and the pasuk says, and that was and that's what happened. Bikishakleish bishalva kofatz olav roigzu shel Yosef. The roigzu of Yosef, Rashi in the pasuk base. Kofatzu olav roigzu shel Yosef. The whole story of Yosef jumped on him. Tzadikim avakshin leishu b'shalva. Tzadikim want to sit in a state of shalva, of peace. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Lo yidayin tzadikim ma'ash m'sukin lo'ilam haba. It's not enough for you what you have in lo'ilam haba. Elosh mevakshin leishu b'shalva lo'ilam hazeh. You want to have this world as well? It's not fair. That's what it seems to be saying. My Rashiva Ram Gurevitz asks a very simple question. Yaakov Avinu wanted to sit b'shalva. Wanted to sit in a state of peace. What did he want to do in that state of peace? Join a local golf course? What peace did he want? Sit along in the French Riviera and sip pina coladas? What is he doing? What's his state of peace that he wanted? He wanted to sit. He had a very difficult life. Yeah, even when he was in his mother's womb, there's already fights. And there was Lavan. And then there was Esav. And there was Dina. He had a tough life. He wanted to sit in a book-lined library and sit and write his forum. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Yaakov Avinu, is it not enough? You have Olam Haba, you want Olam Hazeh as well? That's it. Yosef is going to really shake the boat a bit. Why? What did he do wrong? What is the problem? He wants to sit and learn. So Rav Ram Gurevitz says that we've learned wrong Peshat in what Rashi is saying. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'dayin l'tzlik imashim l'sukin l'olam haba elosh mevakshin leishe b'shalva v'olam hazeh. He explains it with a beautiful piece from a pasuk in Mishli. The pasuk in Mishli says, "Im tivakshena b'kesef batmoinim, if you seek out Torah like diamonds, oz tovin yiras Hashem, then you'll begin to understand what it means to be yiras Shemayim." The pasuk in Mishli, base pasuk dalet. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, "What is a moshel of diamonds to Torah?" And he says it in a way that I'll express it in a way that sort of relates to us. Imagine you have a client that phones you up in Israel that he wants to close with you on a huge contract in Australia. He needs you to come over to Australia and sign on this contract, and he guarantees you on the spot he'll pay the $10 million that your commission you get from this contract. But he has to see you. There's no way of doing it, otherwise it can't be done through a shliach. And it can't be done by proxy. It cannot be done online. You have to come over there and go to his office straight to the limousine. He'll let you off in the limousine by the airport. He'll take you straight to his office. You go back to Israel with $10 million in your pocket. Fantastic. This is a dream. You've been working this contract for years and years and years and years. Okay, phone up your local travel agent. Look online. Nothing doing. It's this afternoon. Nothing doing. Go to your travel agent. Travel agent says, I'll be honest with you, you know, this flight has been booked already for 3 weeks. Solid booked. said, listen, I have no problem with paying. Nothing. I have no money, no object. Put me in business class. Business class, it's full, packed. First class. I'm sorry, sir, I'm just telling you, it's full. It's an absolutely full flight. There's a convention going on in Sydney. It's absolutely packed. You can't help me? No place. Okay, you go to the airport, and you go to a desk, whatever it is, Kangaroo Airlines or whatever it is, Delta, whatever, and you go to the desk and say, listen, I want to speak to the manager. Speak to the manager. He says, "I, it's very, very important. I have one day to get this contract. If I don't, I'm in serious trouble. Money, no object. Get me on that plane." He says, "Sir, I look around on the waiting list, but there's everyone's come. There's not a chance." He said, "I don't care what you do. I need to get on that plane." This fellow was a little bit, wants to bend the rules. Said, "Listen, I can do you one thing. I can do you. I've never ever done this before. But for $25,000 cash, I can smuggle you on the plane. What I do is you have to sit in the back in the lavatory. Okay? We'll put a out of order sign on the door. But you have to sit in there. You have to go in there now before people get on. Sit in there, put a sign on the door, and sit on that flight for 16 hours, flying to Australia, whatever long it is, 18 hours flying to Australia in that room. You can't come out. Nobody will come in. There's no food. There's no drink. There's nothing. Yeah? It's noisy. Yeah? You'll hear people talking outside. You cannot leave. If you're willing to have $25,000, I'm happy to put you on the plane." Guess I'm delighted. Big deal. So I'll sit there. He brings his packed lunch. He asks Shai exactly what to do. He can't learn Torah in there, you know, so he takes with him some, Sudoku, whatever it is. And he basically, he goes in there. He goes before anybody else. And it's very unpleasant. It's very unpleasant. It's bumpy. And it's not pleasant sitting there. And there's the smell of the food. And you hear people enjoying themselves and laughing outside. And he's in this thing with an out of order sign in the toilet. Right? Is he pained in that situation? Does it bother him that much that he doesn't have a reclining seat? Does it really bother him? Or does he think to himself, listen, it's all worth it. Big deal. A few hours, I'm going to be a multimillionaire when I get off a plane. And he goes through and he gets off the plane after 16 hours. He's half asleep and the limousine is waiting for him. He goes to the office and signs a $10 million. It doesn't bother him at all. He's only delighted to be in that position. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Tzadikim, you have an Olam Haba. You are going to come out of here after a very short life, 70, 80, 90, 120 years. Multi-millionaires. I promise you, you have Olam Haba. Are you going to bother about how you're going to travel there? Are you going to bother about Olam Hazeh? Are you going to look for a comfortable seat? It's not. Forget about the seats. It's not relevant. The seats aren't relevant. That's what the Pasuk is saying. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Leidayin Tzadikim Ma'ashim Masukin Olam Haba. Yeah, is it not enough? What I promise you, the Olam Haba, Elohim Mevakshim Leishev Shavuot Imazeh, you're looking for a good seat in the Olam Hazeh. It should be so irrelevant for you, because what will happen is, if it is relevant, a fool will say, listen, unless I have a decent seat, I'm not getting on that plane. And he'll lose a big deal. If a Talmud Chochem, if a person who is focused, does not see the goal, does not focus on the goal, and he starts looking how comfortable the plane is, he can miss the contract. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Tzadikim. It shouldn't be relevant for you whether you have shalva or whether you have peace or not peace. It's not the point. However unpeaceful, however difficult it is, you shouldn't even notice, because of the goal is so clear in front of you. You know, the gold rush. You know, people died of all different terrible things. But it was worth their while. They came out of there wealthy. That's what the Rebbeinu is saying. If you're seeking out matmonim, if you're seeking treasures, this is how we should focus our life. It's sometimes difficult, it's sometimes a challenge, but it's not the point. If you focus on the goal, the path towards the goal is not that bad.
How are we supposed to do that in the upcoming?
We have to work on it. We have to, hopefully by the end of the shiur, it'll be easier to do, focus on that goal. The Pasuk says later on, that the brothers decided to kill Yosef. By the way, before that, there's a beautiful piece I can never ever pass over before saying it every year. In Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Tes Vav, Vayimseeyo Ish, a man met him, Vehine Soye Basode, and he is Soye Basode. What Soye Basode? Lost in the field. Vayashileyu Ho Ish Leimoy Matavakesh, and the man said to him, Leimoy Matavakesh, saying, Matavakesh, what do you seek? Meir Shapira says, Yosef HaTzadik is on the way to Mitzrayim. Yeah, the cesspool of immorality. How is he going to survive there? So a Malach Gavriel meets him, and he says to Yosef, I want you to remember one thing. V'yemtzi'eyu ish v'nisayi v'sadeh, is getting lost. V'yishleyu ha'ish, and a man said to him, Lemoy, the extra Lemoy is redundant. V'yishleyu ha'ish, the man said, asked him, you know what you have to always ask yourself? Lemoy matavakesh, say to yourself, what am I looking for? What is important? There's a key, there's a code to survival. Say to yourself over and over again, Lemoy matavakesh, what is really important? You know, there's a book that came out about a nurse who was a social worker with people who unfortunately had critical illnesses. And she wrote a book, I forgot the book, Rabbi Mlinowitz mentioned it in one of the shurim, and she made research of what were the regrets people had. Universally, it depends whether middle class, wealthy, working class, right across, what regrets did they have? And she basically came out with a few points that every person on the deathbed regretted. Whether it was not doing what they really wanted to do, whether it was not spending more time with family, yeah, it was never, why did I not, you know, buy myself a new car every year? Lemoy matavakish is stay focused. Where's this focus? And it's a beautiful posuk over here. The posuk says, in Perik Lamed Zayin posuk Chof Aleph, there they were about to kill him. Vayishma Reuven. Reuven heard what they were saying. Vayatzileu miyodom, and he saved them from their hands. Vayomer, and he said, Loi nakenu nefesh, we should not kill somebody. Now this posuk is not in the correct order, seemingly. It should say, Vayishma Reuven. Reuven heard what they were saying. Vayomer, and he said to them, Loi nakenu nefesh, let's not kill somebody. Let's not kill somebody. And Vayatzilei miyodom, and he saved them. Why does it say, Reuven heard, and he saved them, and he said, it's not the right order. The cause and effect is reversed. So Yaakov Kamenetsky says a fantastic vort over here, and he quotes some Yalkut. The Yalkut says, if Reuven would have known what this small action he was doing, what effect it would have, he would not have just merely saved Yosef, he would have put Yosef on his shoulders and brought him back to his father. If Aaron HaKohen would have known, what effect it was that he go to meet Moshe Rabbeinu and he was in a good mood, Samach Tov Levov, he would have gone with Moshe Rabbeinu Tupim Mechilas, he would have gone out with a whole band, the whole orchestra. That's what the Yalkut says. What does that mean? So Yalkut Kamenetsky says like this. He says, during the year, the process of the year, we do a lot of wonderful, wonderful mitzvahs. We eat matzah. Before you eat matzah, you know, there's a long time to think about it. Sometimes longer than you would want, right? And you're sitting there, and you prepared your matzahs, and your Erev Pesach, you checked your matzahs, and you put them on the table, and you're looking at them, and you pick them up, and you uncover them and cover them, and you talk about them, and shake them around, and wave them up, and you break them in half, and yeah, it's a whole process. And then eventually you eat a matzah, you come to the matzah, and it's a whole hislavus, with a whole thing, Asher Kedushon HaMitzvoyseshon Alachides Matzah, with amazing enthusiasm. A person goes into the sukkah the first night, and you've built it, and you've put the schach on, and you've decorated it, and you've brought the table, set the table in, and you've laid the table, and you've got the guests, and everything's nice, and the light's twinkling, and you have little chogga lights flashing, and everything's really, really fantastic, and you come into the sukkah, and you say, Asher Kedushon HaMitzvoyseshon Leishi Basukkah. Enthusiasm. Lulavan Esrug. Wow! Right? There's certain times where you're very inspired, you're very enthusiastic, you're very, very excited about the mitzvah. And there are other times where you do a mitzvah and it's completely without excitement. Your neighbor knocks at your door the third time that day and asks you, this time for a bag of sugar. You've already given him a bag of flour, you've already given him a block of margarine. If he wants to bake, go to the makolet, get your stuff beforehand. Yeah? No. Third time. And you answer him, do you have a bag of flour? You're at tzaddik, you go to the thing, and you give him a bag of flour. And you think to yourself, you know, this is really the last time. You're doing a mitzvah asei d'oraisa of chesed. The same, I don't know, value than shemaim. Probably even more value than shaking a lulav. Because this is done with mesiras nefesh, you don't have a flash lulav nesrug to do. Yeah, this is a neighbor, nobody knows, he's coming there, he's driving you nuts, and you're doing a mitzvah asei d'oraisa. But you don't do his enthusiasm. You know, there's one mitzvah, there's one bracha we make every 28 years. Yeah, and we go along and you get up early and it's exciting. A person says, you know, I've done Birchas Hachama twice in my life. I've done Birchas Hachama three times in my life. And you know, and you remember as a child exactly where you were the first time you did it. I remember I did it in a playground in school. The second time I did it over here in the big thing here in Bet Shemesh. Remember that? Yeah, it's all very nice. And it's a big thing. And you come along early in the morning, you know, Erev Pesach, you know, in case you've got bored. And Erev Pesach, and you go along. And somebody went to mikveh beforehand, you know, the big thing. And what are you doing? What are you doing? You're making a bracha of Oyser Maaseh Bereishis, which, by the way, you make every time some chitters, you know, you go thundering and lightning, Oyser Maaseh Bereishis, you go, see the sea, Oyser Maaseh Bereishis, yeah. Big deal. What is it? It's a deraisa. It's an Inyan Darabonon, right? Every morning, yeah, you're making the Berachas HaTorah, which is deraisa. Incredible. You're eating a meal. You're making a Berachas HaMozen. If you Kadei Svi, if it ain't enough to be satisfied, which most people are, unless you're in yeshiva, you're eating a meal which satisfies you. You're doing a deraisa. We should be dancing. You know, Mondays and Thursdays, you've got Behu Rachum. Yeah, the greatest pleasure you can give to any from male is if there's a chosen or a bris in the shul at that time. They don't have to say Behu Rachum on Mondays and Thursdays. There's very few things that gives more pleasure than that. Ah, Baruch Hashem. No Behu Rachum. Do you know what Hurachim is? Have you ever looked at it properly and focused on it? It is the most beautiful tefillah. If you said it once a year, yeah, in Ne'ilah, yeah, people will be looking forward to it. There'll be a whole nusach. There'll be a whole choir of this Hurachim, and you ramble through it. You know, why is it? Because there's certain mitzvahs you don't realize, you don't appreciate the beauty because it's you don't see it. You don't see it. There's plenty of mitzvahs that your poshut don't see. I want to give you a reading out an amazing, amazing story that happened this week. Somebody sent it to me. This, by the way, is a a printout that I took off the Daily Mail in England. Okay, Mazel Tov. Yeah, high school rabbi finds $98,000 cash stashed in $200 desk he bought on Craigslist and gives it back to previous owner. Now, by the way, okay, this I'll read up what it says. A Connecticut rabbi got much more than he bargained for when he bought a desk off Craigslist recently, nearly $100,000 in cash. Noach Muroff paid $200 for the sturdy wooden desk, but when he stripped out the drawers and cabinets to get it through its front door, he discovered a shopping bag full of $100 notes. The desk did not fit into the office by a fraction of an inch, Muroff said. Here is a picture of him. Okay? After pulling it apart, the New Haven man and his wife found a plastic bag. In the bag, I could already see the bag. It looks like $100 notes, he told News 8. We open it, and it's full of cash. And we counted it up, and there's $98,000 cash sitting in this bag. He looks very happy. Okay, there he is, on his desk, with all the cash. Now, the couple couldn't believe their eyes, but they knew exactly what to do. Right away, my wife and I sort of looked at each other and said, we can't keep this money. They picked up the phone and called the original owner, who they purchased the desk from earlier in the day. They recorded the woman's reaction on cell phone video. She was speechless. Now, I'm not going to try and copy a Connecticut accent, okay? But I'm going to say in good English, and hopefully you can use imagination. Oh my gosh, because oh my God, she said in the call. Anyway, she explained that she had stuffed an inheritance in the desk and completely forgot where she had put the money. Wow.
Happens to me all the time.
Okay, do you have any desks for sale? Anyway, the Good Samaritan, why is a Good Samaritan, which makes into question, anyway, return the cash to its rightful owner. Okay, this is him making the phone call. I cannot thank you enough for your honesty and integrity, the woman said, who later wrote a thank you note published by the Jewish news blog Vos Is Nice. I do not think there are too many people in this world that would have done what you did by calling me. I do like to believe that there are still good people left in this crazy world that we live. You certainly are one of them. Muroff, who is a high school rabbi at Yeshiva New Haven, said the most important thing in life is to be honest. And that's a message his Craigslist encounter will send to his students. Okay? This, by the way, went on CNN. It went on News 8. It went on every major newspaper in America, Canada, England. This is an incredible picture of him over here with his couple, with his little beard. He's got a picture of him with his Gemara on his desk. Right? Did he realize, when he gave that $98,000, what incredible Kiddush Hashem is going to make? Unbelievable, right? For him, it was an assignment. But if he would know what he was doing, Over here, he's got his tie on, okay? But when he's on a video, he's got his very cheap-looking T-shirt on, right? He would have dressed up. He would have put his hat on. He would have gone to mikveh in the morning. Inni muchnam zum l'shem kiddush Hashem. He didn't realize. And that is a koyach of a mitzvah. Says a pasuk. Reuven thought he's doing something random. Says a pasuk, stop. By Yishma Reuven. Says a pasuk. Listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen. V'yatzileu miyodom. He saved them. By what? By merely saying, V'yoyimu aloina kinu nefesh. Let's not kill him. This is the strength. The pasuk is saying, exclamation mark, wake up. Not he said this and he happened to save him. Spotlights here. Yeah, this man is about to save somebody. What did he do? By simply saying, lo inakenu nefesh. Let's not kill him. We never know what a mitzvah can do. We have no idea the impact of a mitzvah. We have no idea what effect something can do to save other people from doing an aveira, from bringing them back to do kirov. We have no idea. It's exciting. That's what Yaakov Kamenetsky says. That's why the Pasuk says that. You never know. You never know what the impact of a mitzvah can do. And now, don't you think for a moment that, you know, this is a time of the Torah. Torah wrote down exactly what's going on. Today we're living in a world past the Torah, and therefore who writes down what we're doing? Says the Yalkut carries on. L'sha'ova, in the past, hoya odom oisa mitzvah. A person did a mitzvah. V'hanavim koisvin oisa, and the V'im wrote it down. Like over here, person did a mitzvah, Reuven did a mitzvah, and the V'im wrote it down. Achshav she'ein V'im, today there's no V'im. Mi koisiv oisa, who writes down what mitzvah we did? Eliyahu writes down the Mashiach. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu choisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs it. Like the Pasuk says, Oz nidbru yisha re'eyu, V'yakshiv Hashem v'yishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears what a person does one to his friend, V'yikosev sefer zekor lefon, and puts it in a book of remembrance in front of him. That, we never know the impact of a mitzvah. We never know. Let's move on. So first we talked about the focus, the goals of this world. Second of all, we talked about the impact of a mitzvah. We have no idea what something actually does. So it's very exciting. We never know. We wake up in the morning. What exactly are you going to be doing that day? Now I want to go into even to detail. The Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chof Hei. So they didn't kill him. They sold him. Okay, very very strange pasuk. Vayeshvu lechol lechem. They sat down to eat bread. Vayisu einehem, and they picked up their eyes. Vayiru, and they saw v'hine urchois Yishma'elim bo, and they saw a caravan of Yishma'elim coming. Migilod from Gilod, ugmaleim, and on the camels, noisin no kari no choyus the three v'loit, all different nice smelling spices to take down to Mitzrayim. Now who cares what they were carrying? Says Rashi. Lomo pirasam akosus mason. What difference does it make what they were carrying? Lohidia matan sechoron shol tzadikim, to show the schar of tzadikim. It's a derech for our avim to carry fuel which is evil smelling. And over here, Kodesh Baruch Hu changed the normal way, that he should not suffer from the bad smell. So Yosef does not have to suffer from the bad smell. Usually, usually they're driving down to Mitzrayim in a truck. That carry thing. Now that happened to be traveling down to Mitzrayim in a nice air-conditioned limo. Rabbi, so let's just focus over here. You know, Yosef is about to be killed. By the skin of his teeth, he wasn't killed by his own brothers, no less. Right? Shiftei koh. He gets saved. Skin of his teeth, Reuven saves him. Gets chucked into a boir. Inside that boir is no water, thank God. But what is there? The choshen and the kraven, snakes and scorpions. Fantastic, right? He gets pulled out the boir and he gets sold as a slave to Mitzrayim, which was, by the way, the most difficult place to be. A slave had never left Mitzrayim. The mentality of slave mentality there was unbelievable. They swallowed them in. Yeah? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked after him. You know why? Because normally kidnappers have an issue with body odor. And this time, they were wearing aftershave. Fantastic! Baruch Hashem, life has changed. Ah, wow. And the Pasuk says, and these kidnappers are wearing aftershave. Does that make the slightest bit of difference to Yosef? Do you think he cares whether what they were doing? Do you think in his misery he noticed? And the Pasuk bothers to write what they were carrying to give us this message. Why? Says Reuven Rozovsky, it teaches us an incredible fundamental idea. That Yosef was punished for whatever he did. Yosef was nigzam in Shemaim. He was paschal in Shemaim. That he has to be sold by his own brothers. A very, very difficult, terribly difficult thing. And there's din, very serious din on this poor boy, 17-year-old boy. But din only goes to an extent. Once the HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't use din anymore, immediately there's rachamim. If he is supposed to be sold to Mitzrayim, he'll be sold to Mitzrayim. Nothing can stop you. If he's supposed to be traveling with Yishma'elim, he'll travel Yishma'elim. But it wasn't supposed to suffer from the smell. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu would change round the whole teva that this person should not suffer from smell. That is a diktuk. That is how careful every single thing is in this world. A person should not chas v'sholom think that there's such a thing as tofel and ikka. Yeah, by brachas there's a tofel and ikka. You make a bracha on the ikka and it exempts you from the tofel. Make a bracha on the main thing and the minor things are included in that. There's no tofel and ikka by Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not like there's judgment, there's din, and therefore you're sucked into that, and therefore everything else just gets put into that. No, there's an ikka and there's a tofel, and every single thing is judged to the nth degree. Do you deserve this? Yes. Do you deserve that? No. On the way to hospital. Yeah, on the way to hospital. Crisis. Guy having a heart attack. Suffering there. Bleeding. Right? Fine. Yeah? But when he goes into the hospital, you know, he's going to go into a more comfortable bed. Who cares? No. There is a care. There's no such thing as detail. Every single thing is piled up. You know, there's a story where the Vilna Gaon went into Godus. And he went, in one of his time, went to a hotel, and he ended up in the same hotel as a bunch of lowlives, or the bandits, local bandits. Jewish bandits. And they were sitting by the table, laughing about the days, what they did that day. Terrible things. They murdered, and they physical abuse and emotional abuse. You can't imagine this people thing. And they were the worst people in town. And they were, you know, infamous. And as they were sitting down, the Vilna Gaon walks over to the head of the bandits. Imagine it looks like, with cut off arms, with a big tattoo, you know, with an axe through it, his sweet mama, you know, they come with the knuckle dusters and the thing, big beard, you know, the motorcycles outside. He goes up to them and says, sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, you've got to make a brocha. And they start laughing. Got to make a brocha? You're crazy. We've got to make a brocha. You know what we did today? We just butchered up 15 people. It's not going to make a brocha. We just shot up our whole kindergarten. You've got to make a brocha. So the Vilna Gaon says, what's it got to do with it? You'll go to Gehenna for killing, and you'll go to Gehenna for not making a brocha. At least make a brocha, that little bit less. There's no ikka in his toffel. It doesn't get rubbed in it because he killed people. Every little thing he didn't do, you'll get Gehenna for that. So at least don't get Gehenna for not making a brocha. They were so shocked that it's brought down that it did tshuva. That if every little thing, that's unbelievable. There's no ikka and tafel. A person answers a door 5 times to people who come to ask him for tzedakah at night. Open a door, very nice to the guy, give him 20 shekel. Open a door again, 20 shekel. Right? Right? And you think to yourself, you know, I'm a great guy. 6th time a guy rings on the door, listen, that's it, you know, okay, I'm done for the night. No, there's no ikkar and toffel. If there's a chiv to give him money now, I'm not saying there's a chiv or not a chiv, but if there is a chiv, there's no ikkar and toffel, you've got to give him as well. A guy's having Shmona Esrei, yeah, and he's been dreaming about who knows what during Shmona Esrei. You know, a person, they say, Eile Berechev, Eile Basusim. Yeah, people, goyim have to travel with their horse and carts. V'anachnu b'shem Hashem l'kinin naske. We just mentioned Hashem's name, and we can go anywhere around the world. Yeah? Unbelievable, right? So we're davening Shmona Esrei, and we're flying all around the world, mamish, here, there, everywhere. And then you eventually get to Sim Shalom. Oh no, done it again. Finish, you know, we daven mincha properly. Forget about the Shmona Esrei. No, there's no ikka and toffel. You messed up the first part, grab the last part. That is, that even the smallest detail of every mitzvah is important. Not the goal, the big goal, you know, where you're going in life. Okay, that's the Yeshiv Yaakov. Not as a big mitzvah, so, you know, appreciate every mitzvah, but every detail of every mitzvah. There's no such thing as ikka and toffel. That's another very important message. Yosef is sold to Mitzrayim, and he's not only sold to Mitzrayim as a slave, he's sold to Mitzrayim in a most difficult position. The Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Tes, that he sold to the wife of Potiphar, who was a very insistent woman. And she threatened him, literally, the Medrash says down, she threatened him to blind him. He said, I'm not scared of you. Hashem pekeach ivrim. Threatened to cripple him. I'm not scared of you. Hashem pekeach, Hashem zoykif kufufim. Threatened to prison him. I'm not scared. Hashem matzah asurim. She brought rayas that of pinavua through the stars. That I'm just telling you, Yosef, we are destined to get married to each other. We're going to have children together. And she was right, by the way, because their child married Yosef eventually, right? She showed him in the stars, we're going to get married, yeah. And she showed him that you have to do this for Olam HaBa's sake. She brought everything. There wasn't a day she never dressed the same. Yeah, she must have had an incredible budget. Yeah, day after day, she didn't stop. Unbelievable. And she forced him, and she. And Yosef completely ignored her. The Pasuk says, how did he manage? So the Gemara says, in Sota, it says, Elazar ben Aaron, lokach loy mibunos putiel loy le'isha. Took from the daughters of Putiel. What's Putiel? So the Gemara says, Putiel, from Yosef, shepit peit beyitzri. Shepit peit beyitzri. Yosef, who was mefat pet with his yetzer. What does pit put mean? It says Rashi, shepit peit zilzel, v'kovash oisoi, v'loy choshboi. He was mezalzel. He completely. What's mezalzel? How do you say the word mezalzel?
Degraded.
Completely degraded the Yetzer Hara and did not bother listening to it. V'loy choshboi, completely ignored it. Says Rav Chenech Lebowitz, this is the koyach that a person has to survive the Yetzer Hara. This is incredible. Don't take a Yetzer Hara and see the Yetzer Hara. Oi, the big Yetzer Hara. Yeah, and I've got to fight it now. And I've got to. You know, my son. He's 8 years old, right? He's done his gogoim. You know what gogoim are? You know, the little apricot seeds that they bargain. That, you know, it's, the kids are still into apricot seeds in Israel. They haven't yet got to we and to yeah. Go, they're fine. They're done now. They've done the stickers for this year, right? Now they're up. They're doing marbles. And each marble, by the way, has its exact price and how much it's worth. One of these marbles is worth 12 of the other. And it's not, it's worth 14. No, it's not, because it's got a little chip. And it's a whole thing, it's a whole Shulchan Aruch, exactly how to. It's absolutely marvelous. And you work it out, and this and that. And he's like, he wakes up in the morning holding it, and goes to sleep next to his bed. You know, it's a whole limbud, you know. So where does he get his marbles from? I've got a son who's bar mitzvah now. He's got a whole box of them when he was young, and he was very successful in his career of marbles. And he didn't throw them out, because I told him not to. He was very happy one time to throw it. And he gives it to him, and, like, yeah, and it's like, wow! Yeah? So one is completely abusing it, and one is his biggest treasure. You know, remember, you see kids when you get thrown sweets by the bar mitzvah, right? So you have little kids, about 7 or 8, already waiting there by shlishi. Yeah, they're already climbing up there to get the prime spot that when the sweets come down, they can be the first ones to grab underneath the feet. So something even lie on the floor. Have you seen it? Something even lie on the floor from Shlishi ready to corner that part of the bima that they can get more sweets, right? And then if they're not so, you know, don't have such foresight, they're special, like, diving mission. Have you seen that? You know, like you did in football, like saving a goal, like they jump and you go, and they slide right across the floor to get a sweep. The bar mitzvah boy himself did that. They all do that. When he gets to his bar mitzvah himself, he just stands there completely cool. There's a sweet right in front of him. He doesn't even look at it. Underneath his foot, doesn't bother him. Why is that? Because it just doesn't interest him anymore. It just doesn't interest him because those things are more important. Yosef, this woman, yeah, however good looking or not she may be, is marbles. What difference does it make? Like, he's mazalzel in it. It didn't even bother reckoning. It wasn't even a Yetzirah. What is it? It's you know, what are our marbles? What are our sweets? What are we going to, a few years time, going to say to us? What a waste, what an idiot, what a waste of life running after this. What for? If one's focused enough and one sees a real deal in life, then one doesn't even bother running after these things. Not even a Yetzer Hara for him. That's pit peit beyitzrei. That is if you stay focused. There's marbles or the sweet, they don't even interest you. I just want to finish off, it's late, I just want to finish off the one last of our Torah. How did Yosef get out of jail? The post later on the parasha, when the parasha finishes off, there's a whole story with the two Sa Hamashkin, Sa Tabochim, Sa Oifus, sorry, And it says, in Perek Mem Pasuk Zayin, Vayishal Esrisi Pare Ashi'ita B'Mishma. They had these dreams, and he asked them, Leimoy Madua Pneichim Roim Ayoyim. Why so miserable today? Why so miserable today? And they tell him he had this dream, and it's very upsetting, etc., etc. Right? So Yosef tells them the whole Pitaron, and eventually they go and tell Parai. One of them gets killed, one goes to Parai and tells Parai, and Parai tells him. Says to Shalom Shvadron, Yosef is stuck in jail. Why did he go to jail? Because he did an incredible mitzvah and he fought with his Yetzirah. Yeah? He got only put in jail because he won his Yetzirah. 10 years. Yeah? It wasn't Dartmoor. Yeah? It wasn't a place where you have your own color TV, satellite, and you have your own kosher meals. He was living there in a hole in the ground, as a boyer, living in a hole in the ground. Difficult position. He never knew if he'd ever get out. He's away from his family. And he sees people, and he notices that today they look a little bit more upset than yesterday. And he says to them, today, why are you upset? What do you care? Look after yourself. Survive yourself. What do you care about other people? Says the Shalom Shradron, Olam Yaktim Odom Shalom Lecholodom. A person in any situation, Olam, doesn't matter how difficult his life is, a person should look out for other people. Shlomo Zalman, Zeichus Adler Gevrachim, was a touching story. He was in a lift in Shaar Tzedek Hospital. And he was in the lift, and one of his Talmidim came in and told him, Mazel Tov Rebbe, I just had a son. And Shlomo Zalman, you know Shlomo Zalman's smile? You know Shlomo Zalman's smile? He lights up a room. Shlomo Zalman shook his hand with his full smile, said, ah! Mazel Tov, fantastic, you've grown Talmud Chochem, Bishbi Itzib is mama, and he left the lift. Somebody said to him, do you know why Shlomo Zalman's here? He said, why? His wife just passed away. He's on the way to the Levaya. On the way to the Levaya. So, how does a person, you know, it doesn't matter. This Talmud has a simcha that have to be mishnatav in La'olam. This is a kiyach of a gadol. Yosef's in jail, he's wallowing in self-pity. And what about other people? I've got to worry about other people too. It's irrelevant. This is not only looking out for your own mitzvahs, looking for your own goals, and looking to be meducting every mitzvah. Look out for other people as well. La'olam, always look out for them. And Yosef, through this, was able not only to get out of jail, but he became the king through this. This is how he became a king, looking out for other people. I want to finish off with one beautiful story I heard. There was a shechita house in Ireland, and every day the job was for the last shochtim who were there would drop off the keys by the guards outside, the security guards outside. One day they're driving out of the abattoir of the slaughterhouse, and they give off the keys to two security guards sitting outside in the booth. And one was reading the newspaper, the other one says, no, you can't lock up, there's somebody there still. So there's nobody there. I'm telling you, the last people here. I'm just telling you, sir. I'd like to come back with you to check if there's anyone else in the abattoir. So by all means, I'll turn the lights off. There's nobody there. You can come back with me. So they go back into the abattoir, turn all the lights back on, and they look, and there's nobody there. He says, "That's it. You satisfied now?" No. I'm not satisfied. I'm just telling you, there's somebody there. They open up the freezers, and they found two shochtim who were almost unconscious. The freezer door had closed on them, and they managed to revive them in a fraction of, you know, who knows, in a couple of minutes they could have died of hypothermia. And they saved their life. And the shochtim said to these security guards, "How do you know? How do you know? How did you realize that?" He said, "Because they say such a beautiful good evening to me when they leave. And tonight I missed it. I missed it. I didn't get that good evening. I didn't, and I realized that they must be still inside." They're looking out for other people, save their own lives. Looking out for mitzvahs gives us a wonderful richness of life. And we should all be zoicha to focus on the goals, to focus on the excitement of doing a mitzvah, to focus on the detail of every mitzvah, to understand there's no such thing as an ikar and tofel, every detail is important, to know that many things in our lives are a bunch of marbles. What we're going to really sort of, it's silly. What should we be focusing on now? It's worthwhile. Mi mefatuv in ayetza, and look out for the other people, as Hashem, we should be zeicha, not only to help ourselves, but to help our lives and the surroundings around us. Yeah.